Well, good morning again. I have so looked forward to being here with you, the privilege to preach again, to be with you. It was not fun looking into an iPhone. I'm just going to be honest. It was a privilege to preach in that format, but to be wired up in a tripod and an iPhone and me trying to have my wits about me. Alan, don't smile. But the Lord was gracious. But there's nothing like being here with you. And preaching it's experiential together. It's God feeding us and teaching us and sanctifying us and bringing us in His truth. And so I'm such a privilege to be back with you. You remember in the sequence of weeks we've been apart, but in these last few months, I had begun the theme of spiritual warfare, putting on the full armor, or the whole armor of God, out of Ephesians 6. So take your Bibles and turn back to Ephesians 6. These truths apply to the difficulty of the days we're in right now, in the way we walk, or in the way we'll talk today, the way we advance and run in the gospel of our dear Savior. So this admonition of Paul's to put on the whole armor of God should be alive and should be teaching you and taking hold of areas of your life with fresh reality and faith. The imagery Paul is using is powerful. This Roman soldier that represented it in that time with Paul, that was the greatest war figure in the world. That Roman army and those Roman soldiers were the most outfitted and prepared to do war anywhere in the world. So Paul is seeing something powerful. It's vivid in his thinking. And as Paul, you know, was drawing from this, it would have been amazing to have talked to Paul about what he was really symbolizing, expressing, but these soldiers that he was looking at, that he had seen, they're serious-minded. They were dressed, outfitted for battle, and that's the mindset of you and I, the Christian. We ought to be serious-minded and realize the battle that we're in, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against a ferocious enemy, Satan and his host, and therefore we must have God's armor on us. So far we have seen two particular aspects of the armor of God. We've been told to be girded or wrapped in the truth, with the truth, which is this picture of being covered by the truth that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It covers us. It influences us. It saturates us, the gospel reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, the breastplate of righteousness, this cover that would cover your center of your body or the Roman soldier, particularly the heart. What's precious to us, what's sacred. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which has been given unto us, protects us from lies and accusations against us. We have to realize how significant it is that we walk in His righteousness that He's given unto us. But the next part of the armor deals with our feet, the feet. It's been, through the years, to me, one of the more unique aspects of the armor. And there are a lot of thoughts on it that you can read, but hopefully by God's grace, He'll give us the truth today with great help and understanding. Ephesians 6, I'll pick it up in verse 13. I'll read through verse 15, and then I'd like to pray. Paul says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And here's our verse for today. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Amen. May God bless His great word. Father, we bow to You as we just heard in that beautiful hymn. We need You every hour. We need You now. We need You as we both Listen, and as I speak, Lord, shepherd us. Give your word success. Let it have, Lord, just power in our lives and great help to us. This picture that Paul's giving, thank you, Lord, for it. Help us to be more and more equipped and ready as soldiers of the cross, walking with you, not being tripped up, not being caught in wrong battles, schemes of the wicked one. Grant grace to your people, the brothers, the sisters, the young people. Help today. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, blessed be your name. Amen. When we think about military armor, we never really think about the feet being protected. Nobody concentrates on the feet, honestly. Little boys don't ask their dads or their moms, take them to get some armor and worry about the feet. They just don't. Think about this. We think of helmets and shields and swords. I mean, all that big, impressive stuff. And it's in the language. It's in the thoughts of the Apostle Paul. Helmet, shield, sword. And we'll go through those. But what about the feet? The feet. Amazing, really. It's very important. In a military operation, the feet are very, very significant in terms of how they're protected. What are they outfitted in? In the history of nations, if you go back and read in different centuries, the nations that were at war, wars have been won or lost based upon what the soldiers wore on their feet. It's a true statement. Wars have been won or lost because of men being properly outfitted in their feet or not properly outfitted. That's amazing. That'll get your attention. And when I was a young boy, my dad was in the National Guard. And he had outfits. He had stuff. Tom, you probably still have some of your stuff. Jeff probably does. Clint maybe. Baker may still have some pieces. But my dad had these sturdy lace-up army boots. And they came, you know, way high on the calf. And they were captivating. I'm a little boy. I have my brother's 3 years older, and we used to love to look at his stuff. But the boots were just impressive. They were black. They were still kind of polished, and they would lace all the way up, and they were rugged. They were the most awesome boots I had ever seen. And I'm a little guy, but I thought there's nothing like those. And I knew those had a significant place in what the men in the guard or in combat would have to face. I could make that connection. So my brother and I, we'd take turns, we'd slide that big boot on, and we'd stand there like we were soldiers. And it felt fun, felt significant. We would pretend that we were getting outfitted for army activities, but they were not for show, beloved. I remember one time Jeff wore his lace-up boots to our house one time years ago. You still have them, don't you, brother? Probably tucked away, got a pair somewhere. And so they're not just for show. They're not just some sort of a symbol of the military. They are that, yes, but they're outfitted. They're prepared for something that causes them to be successful. If you stay with me, you'll begin to already see what Paul is speaking to us is about the Christian life, the gospel in our lives, on us, in helping us advance. It's really glorious. So these are not symbols just for show. This was serious military outfitting, and they were being prepared for war. Now this takes us back to Paul. Paul's imagery of this Roman soldier, this man of that day. And Paul wants this picture to give us a much bigger truth about being a Christian in a warfare that we're facing day by day, year by year. That we would be mindful of these aspects, the truth, righteousness, and in this teaching, the gospel on our feet in this picture, in this metaphor that he's giving. So like I've done in previous times, I'd like to begin by considering briefly the illustration. What is this picture of that Roman soldier? And second, the bigger reality, the application spiritually for you, for me, for you young people. What does it mean to be shod or your feet having this gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace? The illustration. The ESV says, as shoes for your feet. That's how it begins. The King James says, having your feet shod or covered as shoes, or as in the case of those men these sandals that were more like a sandal boot. Amazing. They were thick. I actually, each time I go through these particulars, I like to go back and look at pictures. You can see imagery of the Roman pieces of armor. And so I started looking back. And so these were thick. The soles on those shoes, those sandals, sandal boots is actually what they were. They were thick. And they had straps. So the base of them were thick enough that things could not penetrate. And so they would have these sandal boots made, and they would lace those or strap those up around their calf. And they hung tightly, or they stayed tightly upon the man's foot, his feet. And so they were, in a way, they were some of the most ingenious things about the armor, because it gave the soldiers an advantage in all aspects of movement and positioning, holding ground. Fascinating. And so these sandal boots actually had spikes. Studs, you know what I mean by that, right? On the bottom of them, they would put into the leather these pointed pieces of rock or whatever it would be, metal, and so they, what we would call spikes on these sandal boots. And so these boots gave them, these sandals gave them a position that they couldn't, or they wouldn't be sliding around. They could advance. They had good footing. Amazing picture here. So with the good footing, it's the first thing, with good footing, they didn't slip in combat. Hand-to-hand combat was intense, and they had to have their balance. They had to stay sure-footed. This also means, the way these sandal boots worked, they had good protection. You don't only have to have good footing. You have to have good, stable footing. You have to have protection, and these protected him. Think about this. They would move quickly as armies, and they would move across rocky, rugged areas. Sometimes the enemy would plant in the ground these stakes that would only stick out of the ground maybe a half inch or an inch. Oh, it just sounds horrible, doesn't it? The thought of that. If you've accidentally been in the yard or out in a rough area without a shoe on and you step on something, you know exactly, but this is horrible. So these sandal boots were strong enough, and they had these spikes on the bottom that they could move, and things that would try to penetrate could not penetrate the thickness of what they were wearing. They were protected. So that was their way of being, keeping away from injury. Third, they had good mobility. Now think about this. The ability to move quickly, advance quickly, to keep moving forward was significant in war in all of those different centuries. If you got pinned down or you got trapped and you couldn't move your army, you were toast. You were done. You young guys, think about this. These sandal boots, they gave them footing. They gave them the ability to be protected from harmful things that would hit their feet or come through the soles of their feet, but they could move. They could get after it and go. And I remember my dad, a few times when he would talk about those boots, he said, it takes a long time to break those things in. And he said, once you've got them broken in, then you can move without hurting your feet. They can stay on all day. But they have this mobility to them. And so Paul is giving us a picture of these men with their feet covered. And it was covered and prepared for warfare. It is actually attributed to Alexander the Great, of where these can go back to, who created the idea. These sandal boots were very successful for his armies, because those men would wear those and they would outmaneuver and they would out-strategize their enemies. They could move unexpectedly. So the enemy would think they have them trapped. Now think about this. This will preach to you if you hear it. The enemy will try to trap or pin down, in that day, Alexander the Great and his armies, and yet those men could maneuver and they could move swiftly. We're talking about thousands of men, beloved. We're talking about moving with very clear judgment of where you need to go or get away from, things to get away from. So it's really a magnificent piece of history. And so Alexander the Great and his armies were known, and so through the centuries, they adapted these same kinds of footwear, army wear, for the men. And so by the Roman days, it was very refined. It was the best that was available in the world. Alexander the Great, little g, his armies moved at will. They didn't yield ground. They took it. They did not give up ground. They took it. And they didn't pick battles or go into battles that they didn't think they could win. They moved swiftly to another area so they knew what ground they would stay on and they could win those battles there. That's powerful. Just think of this, beloved. We're going to get to the more application here in a minute. But Paul is giving us something magnificent in this picture of our feet covered in the gospel of peace, being prepared. So that's just a quick snapshot of the illustration, this picture, these Roman men in their lace-up, strapped-on sandal boots, ready to advance. So the application, he says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The ESV reads, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. See the phrase here? Paul uses this word, with the preparation. It is really better to easier to understand the way ESV says it. Having put on the readiness. In the purest sense, that's what that Greek word is getting to. This, your feet being covered, your feet being prepared for movement, for action, is readiness. You're ready for combat. You're ready for struggles. You're ready for what's coming. You're not left exposed. And so Paul seems to be saying to the Christians in that day in Ephesus, and certainly the Philippians and Colossians and other Christians that would hear these things, perhaps even eventually hear of these letters, and they would get the same emphasis. You have to be ready to move, be ready to advance. And so that's what Paul's getting at. And in the initial thought here is that this proper foot coverage would help them advance in the gospel, the preparation or the readiness of the gospel of peace. Just as a man in that day was prepared and ready, the gospel, children, young people, men, sisters, the gospel is daily what prepares you or enables you to speak and live and walk in the Christian life. The gospel is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's used 101 times in the New Testament. It's this reality, the good news of the Lord Jesus. It's why we're here. It's why we sing. It's why we live. It's why we pray. It's what we're about. And so this thing of the gospel, it's not just a small one or two things. It's the whole of the Christian life, what we have in Christ Jesus. And we're prepared. We're ready in it. We're ready to walk in it. We're ready to move and advance, just like those men in battle. So let's think about similar to a Roman soldier. How is it in the spiritual realm? What is it that this gospel prepared feet is showing us? Now I'll pause for a second. You can read some writers through the centuries that emphasize this is about evangelism. But that doesn't seem to be hitting the bullseye. Paul's not dealing first and foremost about evangelism in the gospel and our feet moving, right? He's dealing with warfare. He's dealing with protection. He's dealing with victory in the spiritual life against a very horrible, ferocious enemy, Satan and his host. Yes, it's implied in other texts that you may be thinking about in the Old Testament about the gospel being upon the feet, right? How beautiful are the feet of those who are taking the gospel forth. But it's just more of a picture of warfare. This is not evangelism per se. And so we have to be careful. We have to be true to the context of what Paul is dealing with. He's dealing with war, things that will hurt you, things that will crush you. He said over and over, we'd already covered this several weeks ago, that we would stand, that we would not lose ground, that we'd not be knocked back. So let's think about this similar to the Roman soldier in three areas. What's the spiritual reality of this? The gospel, number one, the gospel gives you, us, good footing. You talk about being anchored. You talk about the best positioning, the best stability. Otherwise, you're at risk. You know, the power of the picture here is to have good footing in the things of God. People get sifted and people take on all kinds of new ideas all the time because they're not grounded. They don't have footing in the gospel. the whole counsel of God, His ways, His truth, His leading in our lives. And people get casual. They're not even outfitted right. They're not even sound in the gospel. They don't even know the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think God does this. It's not about what you think. It's about what He has declared. This is what we believe. I didn't come up with this. I didn't write this. Charles Spurgeon didn't write this. He believed it. He embraced it. He feasted on it. He preached it. He lived it. That's the Christian. That's good footing, the gospel. It gives us confidence in what our life is anchored on. Right? So if we're going to be properly outfitted with the gospel, this gospel of peace, it means we'll have good footing. We have good stability. The gospel stands firm, beloved. You and I, by ourselves, we can be sifted today. But if we stand on the promises of God and the truths of the gospel, we stay sound. We stay firm. Winds of change will come. I'm pushing 60 now. I've seen a few decades. I've seen a few upheavals in society. I've seen a few lies. I mean, I remember as a boy watching Vietnam on the TV, black and white, trying to grapple what in the world's going on, and protests and flags being burned and hatred and killing and madness. And you just keep going through the decades. Where's the gospel? It's just anchored. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the best footing that there is in all the world, without end, any nation, any people, any kindred. It's the truth of God. It's God's proclamation. It won't be changed. As Paul said in Galatians, you don't believe other gospels. The good footing of the gospel of Jesus Christ will not move. Today, when you look down and you think about your feet, think about incredible footing that the gospel gives you. I can't stand cheap, lousy work boots. And I don't do work like Brian and these guys do. But I can't stand it because out on our property, sometimes I bought these cheap mud boots, right, Tom? And all of a sudden you're out there and they puncture easy. And there's just wasted, you know, no good. It's like the books, most of the books of our day, most of the chat lines or whatever going on. It's not full of the glory of the gospel. It doesn't give you good footing. You want to be strapped with the best. You want the best spikes. You want the best footing. The gospel gives us good footing. It keeps you from slipping. You college students or you young people, when you're at work, and different thoughts, different ideology, different espoused opinions of whatever it may be. Well, wait a minute here. The Bible says, Jesus said this, and that's what I'm standing on. Beloved, it's the way to stand firm. You won't slip. Last week when I was leaving, I got to see Matthew and Luke. I told you guys I'd be back. I'd be back after you this week. They play baseball. As I hear it, they're pretty good baseball players. But when I played baseball here in Denton a long time ago, in the Little League, you had those cleats that had the little plastic cleats. That's most of the bookshelves, by the way, of our day. Little old plastic cleats. And they, by the end of the summer, or whenever we finished the season, those things were worn down. They were just these little bitty. They didn't give you any traction. I mean, we thought they were pretty cool at 10, 11 years old. We'd walk around in them, you know. We'd look at those things, but they didn't do much. You'd slip around. You couldn't get any footing. And then I got to be 13, and in Denton, baseball back then, that was Pony League. Man, when you turn 13, you get spikes. I mean, I'm sure probably April or May, I said to my dad, can we go get my spikes? And we went and got some, and it was just that slotted metal. Those things were rough. You played second or shortstop or third, and somebody comes sliding in, you're going to pay the price. I've had some hands cut. Those spikes were not refined, but they worked. And so I'd be interested to hear, Matthew, you and Luke have to tell me later, when do you get to wear spikes now? And, of course, there's different ways they've advanced that technology, but I had footing at that point. I'd play infield back then, and then I would pitch pretty often. And because of that, you need good footing. You needed to be able to hold your ground. And it was certainly a picture for me that the difference now was I didn't feel like I would slide around. A hot shot that would move between short and third, I feel like I'd get to it. You wouldn't just slip with your first step. Beloved, you see, there's pictures here. Good footing, the best footing in Christ Jesus. The gospel keeps you anchored. When Satan brings his lies and his deception and his folly our way, the gospel stands its ground. I'm not believing that. That's a lie. That's vanity. That'll harm me. That's fleshly. Whatever. The gospel of our glorious Savior is speaking to you. It's informing you. It's shaping you. It's ruling your heart and mind. We need that so much day to day. We need that anchoring. You remember how Paul said it to the Colossians? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, anchored, listen where he says it, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Paul's using a similar language here. If we continue, we go forward in the faith, in the truths of the gospel, grounded, settled, and be not moved away from the hope or the truths of the gospel. Paul was exhorting the Colossians, and all of his letters, one way or another, that's what he's doing. It's what he speaks to us. God speaks to us today. Be anchored. Stand strong. Don't give up ground. Oh, beloved, just the first picture that we can apply is good footing. The gospel gives us that. Second, the gospel gives us good protection. Protection. Back to my lousy mud boot stuff. I've had some that after two wears, I thought I just need to throw these away. Because they didn't protect me. You have to have protection. We did something the other day where we went outside and I was out in my sandals, little flimsy sandals, okay? And I said to Chris, I can't do this. I got to get socks. I got to get my boots. Because I thought, I'm going to pay the price. But protection, the gospel protects us. Not only does it anchor us, it protects us in incredible ways. Incredible reality to this. Because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. All that he is, he's in us. His spirit's in us. And his truth is protecting us. You're not being wounded all the time. Soldiers could not be successful if they were unprotected and injured. Wars were lost because soldiers tore up their feet, couldn't move anymore, fought infection, and the enemy came and got them. Wow, what a picture that is. Gruesome, but real. Wars can be won or lost. Our Christian life can be sifted or be stable based upon the protection we let the gospel and God's word give us. It's worth saying we don't need new things. We need new grace and new wisdom and help. We need new outpourings of the Holy Spirit. But beloved, we have these truths, these glorious living truths that protect us. Man, we ought to think and answer and analyze things from a biblical worldview. We walk through somewhere and we see a news flash, or we get something on your handheld device, or you're catching up. We'd always put that with a heart about the things of God and Christ Jesus and our fellow man, seeing it that way. Always taking the gospel. Yes, dear ones, the gospel of our dear Savior protects us from his traps, Satan's traps and spikes. Using this really scary picture of spikes, trying to mend, all of a sudden they come up on a field and they can't even see them, and they're these sticking out of the ground. It sounds absolutely gruesome, but Satan sets traps. He sets spikes for you. Proverbs 1, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go with them. There's all kinds of enticements, all kinds of calls. Come here. Lee was opening the meeting with this truth of coming to Jesus. He calls us, he brings us, he shepherds us. We move with him. You get out of that shepherding influence, his care, you're going to get hurt. You won't have protection. We can't depart from this. We can't depart from each other. We have to continue grounded and settled. We have to go forth knowing that he's protecting us and his truth is protecting us. His word, his spirit, his power with us. The enemy every day, everywhere will try to spike you and trick you and hurt you. And you cannot be careless. Sisters, this is as much for you as it is for the men. This is not just a masculine teaching. This is for every Christian in every age. You young ladies have to possess yourself to the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ and walk counterculture totally. So be it. Oh, may God be exalted, and may the gospel shine forth in your life. And it does. A beautiful, beautiful picture of grace abounding in the sisters, in the men, where you are, at work, in society. Now things are activating again. Things are happening again. We got to be alert. We don't wear flip-flops into this generation. We wear boots. We wear sandals that are strapped on. It's the gospel of our glorious Savior. God's truth deflects from those spikes and things that would penetrate and hurt you. God's truth protects. It's a barrier. It's a shield. It's a covering. Awesome. Beloved, the power of the gospel causes you to step over the enemy's lies, over his deceptions, over his slanders, and over his temptations. Y'all hear that? Those of you who are young, the gospel of our glorious Savior protects you to move in spite of the enemy's schemes against you. Lies and slanders and temptations. Years ago, there was a radio program. Mac would remember. Michael, you may remember. Marlon Maddox, Point of View. Krista would remember it. And we were early in our marriage. We'd listen to that. And where's Mac again? You remember Marlon Maddox, and that's where Kirby Anderson was a part of that, Probe and all that. Those guys were thinkers. But Marlon was, he would have these guests on. And some of them were, I mean, they had some pretty storied background. But one time I was driving back between college classes. Chris and I had a small little apartment, emphasis on small. And we had the college, you know, not far away. And I would listen to Point of View. And Marlon Maddox had this guest on. And this was just, at this point, he was older, probably 30s or 40s, meaning he wasn't young anymore, per se. But he was, the 30 and 40-year-olds are going, Philip, did you just say we're not young anymore? You just stay with me here. When he was younger, probably when he was a college-age guy, he was invited by some coworkers to come to some activity, an event, after hours. This fits our day. Stay with me here. I'm driving. I'm a young college student, married man, listening to this guy. We're talking about your protection. And this guy was talking about the grace of God had already done a work in him. But they knew, his coworkers knew he was a Christian. They thought, we'll get him. He had no idea. They were setting a trap for him. And he told Marlon Maddox, he said, so I decided I'd go. They had invited me over. They were going to have a get-together. And he said, I got there, and it was an apartment, and I knocked. And he said, when they opened the door, what was happening inside there in terms of, he knew immediately, the Holy Spirit said, oh, man. I can't remember the details. I don't really want to remember the details. But what he went on to say was, the Holy Spirit just right there protected him and gave him tremendous grace with his coworkers who stepped out to talk to him. And all of a sudden, instead of him being slaughtered, God gave him grace to communicate with love the realities of the gospel of grace. And he basically, as I remember it, went on to tell Marlon Maddox, within just that evening, some of them were converted because Christ, with him, the Holy Spirit, giving him power and protection, he didn't get pulled into that mess. God came in great power and gave that man grace to speak truth, to walk in holiness, and to love those who needed the Lord Jesus Christ. I've thought about that more than once. I thought about it this week, who that guy was. I have no idea, have no recollection of who he was, but he was protected. So, beloved, the gospel of our dear Savior not only gives you good footing for standing, but it gives you good protection from the wiles and schemes of the enemy. Number three, the gospel gives us good mobility. Onward and upward in Christ Jesus. Every now and then I'll say to a friend at my vocational work, one of the brothers, when we're departing, I'll say, onward and upward, brother, press on. That's become a theme for us in our friendship. But mobility. You just feel like you're stuck at times? That's a sincere question. Soldiers had to be ready for very nimble movement. Because the enemies were attacking. This is all by foot. Nobody has fancy planes and fancy tanks or any of that. It's all by foot. It's about moving groups of men around. who can outsmart the other. But if you got lousy footing, you don't have sound protection, you don't move your men. That's the whole point I've been emphasizing along the way. Quick movement avoids attacks. In the gospel, the truths of the glory of Jesus Christ gives us mobility. It keeps us going. It keeps us seeing our day, as Lloyd-Jones would say, knowing the day that we're in. And so swift movement to those men was strategic to win the ultimate war. Alexander the Great, as I've said several times, that's why he was so successful. There would be other things about his strategy, but he could move his men quicker and in strategic ways that the other armies couldn't match. He was moving and advancing. It is said that Alexander the Great picked his battles, and he picked the ones he didn't want to get into. All right, that'll preach. We need to walk in the grace of God to know where are we going to get caught into or pulled into a battle. Sometimes we don't see it coming, but where do you get brought into a conversation or a thought or a struggle, something that's going on? And we can decide by the grace of God we're going to share, we're going to speak, and there's other battles, there's other wrangling and problems and contention that you need to get out of. I'm not trying to define where those are. The grace of God will lead you. But you can't take on every battle that goes on out there. We can't. We're advancing the gospel of our dear Savior, and the battles and struggles all around us are varied. What you sisters get pulled into or stay away from would be different than your husband or somebody else. Good mobility. We have to be discerning. We have to walk carefully, and I'll close here in a minute with this truth. So much more a Christian has to be swift in advancing God's truth. Swift in advancing, having it and advancing in it. It's not stationary. It's not. Now I'm a Christian. I'm just going to hang out till he comes and gets me. That is far from the reality of the Bible as you can get. The Christian is brought into the kingdom of our dear Savior, and he is bringing us, taking us on. We're advancing. Lloyd-Jones said this, "The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a slow, sluggish thing." We get slow and we get sluggish, don't we? I'm talking about in the Christian life. One of the dangers the last 100 days is, are we slow and sluggish? It wasn't an accident that Brother Michael's sermon happened the last Sunday before we were able to meet for a while. God was speaking to us. Declension, careful, 100 days. We can't stay stationary. We have to keep advancing. What does that mean? Well, let's spend time and talk about that. Spend time as couples, as families, different ones. Talk. What does it mean to be moving? It means that God's taking us forward. That's what it means. Yeah, Lloyd-Jones is right. The Christian life is not a slow, sluggish thing. Ho-hum, boring, dull, orthodox. Nothing else, no life, no struggles, no joys, no victories. Come on, are you kidding me? If that's what the world sees in Christianity, they're not seeing the real deal. Christianity is a fight. It's a joyful victory in Christ Jesus. We have a triumphant king. Was it one of the grandsons, Krista? Somebody asked me recently. I've been trying to read and make sense of the book of Revelation. And I said, that book is about the victor Jesus Christ and his triumph forever. And his people will triumph with him. That was my summary. And it's true. Our king has already triumphed. Our general of the army has already led us into ground to be victors. We're not there yet. The kingdom is yet to come. But he's taken us onward. Beloved, we can't stand around or be sitting around not advancing. Boy, howdy. He is moving us. He's swift. He's active. The gospel, the good news of Christ Jesus, is keeping us from certain attacks and moving us beyond other danger zones. Wow. How incredible. Those biographies, when you read of those men and those missionaries and their labor and how they were advancing, and the enemies couldn't quite get to them. It's just incredible how God would hide Hudson Taylor or David Livingston or whoever. He would keep those men. They weren't just sitting back typing fun papers and stories. They were living. I'm not picking on people who are gifted in writing. I'm talking about people who sit back. The battle is there, beloved. We have to keep going. We have to be swift. It has to make ourselves ask this question. Do this for your own self. Are you slow and sluggish? Where are you right now on this gauge of slow and sluggish? I'm making some progress or I'm advancing. Just think about your own life. Am I slow? Or am I swift? Am I active in the things of God? Am I thinking rightly? Is my mind captivated in the truth? Are my words seasoned with grace? Is my love genuine for others? Is my desire for pure things and holy things to cut off that which is useless and to go after that which is holy and pure? Those are the marks. There's many, many realities and marks. Am I slow or am I swift? Am I passive or am I active? Those Roman guys, they didn't put all those majestic outfit on so they could sit around and play cards, drink coffee. They put that stuff on so they could go take the land and win and advance their king's kingdom. Wow, now that'll preach. The Lord Jesus Christ has his church moving in America and across the world in his own time and his own way for his glory, his kingdom. That unique experience. The Dove Awards. I won't take Chase this long. But having seen that Dove Award in one of those musicians, it was kind of fascinating to get a glimpse into that part of the culture. And they said, God is using this worship moving across the world. This is how God is moving. Philip stepped back about three steps. I mean, think about this. God is advancing his kingdom through a worship movement. He's a God to be worshipped. And I thought, but he advances the kingdom of his son through the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, right? No disrespect for glorious, wonderful worship music. I want to be in on that. That's not his primary way of doing it. Not in the scriptures. That's not what the book of Acts is. We go sing everywhere and people get caught up in Jesus. No. They proclaim a gospel that men hate. And others are brought into the kingdom, and the glory of God is broadcast, and sinners are converted, and the kingdom is advanced. You see, we have to think rightly. I'm not against worship music. I love great music. But that's a fruit of giving praise to God. So are we swift in our daily life, in our church? Part of our calls, the elders' calls together, our talks, we're soon to be back together, I hope. But part of our talking is, where are we? We love y'all. We're all in, but where is God taking us? We want his wisdom. We want his leading. We want mobility in him. We don't want to force it. We're grateful to be here. This is a provision. But we want to go with God and all that that means. And we're not talking about a building or trying to get caught up in secondary things. Let him lead us as a spiritual habitation, as a people. Oh, beloved, we need to be swift runners in advancing forward in the Lord Jesus. Let me wind down on this point of mobility. Yes, the gospel gives us good footing. It gives us good protection, but it gives us the greatest of mobility. This means, beloved, if however you answered that question, that you must respond to the Holy Spirit's leadings and his advancements, his purifications and leadings in your life. What he's cutting off and what he's putting on. He stirs, he leads, he advances. He is a living, active, glorious, holy, divine spirit. He's not passive. The book of Acts is anything but passive. It's really jaw-dropping. Page after page. Wow! Look at this conflict. Those men are advancing. The gospel's going forth. Just stunning realities of the gospel of our Savior advancing out into the world. So let me mention four things in this for us to think on the mobility in the gospel. Number one, I've already said several of these, but I want to come back and emphasize. His mobility, we're talking about his, the Holy Spirit, in the life of his people, is a forward mobility. It's growing in grace. It's advancing the gospel. It's building his church. It's seeing evil by the grace of God triumphed over chaos. It's seeing things go forward. The Christian at the individual level and his church gaining new ground in our lives. We should not look back 3 or 10 years ago and say, I wish I was back then. God forbid. Grace is great today. We have a great Savior today. The Christian life is not just for a few to live with fullness. It's for all of us, to gain new ground. Go forward, the Holy Spirit moving us forward. Second, His mobility by His Spirit is discerning. This thing of the gospel, he leads us with discernment, meaning we don't go carelessly into Satan's territory. We stay away from certain things, whatever those things are, places, wrong things on computers, wrong stories, books, wrong things, wrong people, wrong places, silly, useless, wasted stuff. It's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. So his mobility, he's not just taking us forward with new ground, but he gives discernment. And each of us have different areas of vulnerability. Some brother or sister could have grace to participate or be around something briefly, and it won't ruin them. It wouldn't be as hard for them, if you follow what I'm trying to say here. But we have to be discerning. Your spirit has to be in tune with him. I can't do that. I've got to be careful. I've got to possess myself with caution. And the Holy Spirit gives grace to do that. Number three, his mobility gives us divine power in this moving, in this advance. He gives us divine power. I need thee every hour, right? Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. I am the vine and you're the branches. When I prune trees or prune things or Krista goes out and does the garden, something gets broken. That's it. It's not going to live. If it gets cut, but God in his great gift of his Spirit gives divine power. He renews us with fresh strength and joy and resolve. He does it. He comes. He gives help. Don't let this scare us, beloved. This is what we want more of. This is how we want to live. This is how we want to die. We want to go forward. We want to have his power. He's promised it. He's promised it. He'll give power. He'll give grace for the battle. My grace is sufficient for you. The Apostle Paul felt really lonely in Corinth, didn't he? But God stood by him. He was with him. I'm sure with Michael and Lee and these travel and these trips and Mac through the years, sometimes you travel and you get stuck in an airplane. Or in an airport by yourself. And you're just saying, Lord, I just got to have you now. Strengthen me. Let me go forward with you. Any vocation or place we may be, we ought to view it that way. And lastly, his mobility or moving forward in him has abiding peace. He did say the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's a profound way he's putting that. He, the Holy Spirit with us, advancing us, helping us move forward, is giving peace. We have peace with God. We know God is with us. I mean, Pat Rowell, why do you even go to the square? Because you believe God's there. He's going to speak. I mean, Tom through the years spent all over the world preaching, declaring the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ, because he believes the power of God will lead and come through that, and men and women will be converted. There's a peace. God's with me. God's in this. That's a very, very lonely feeling to start trying to do something that you know is really not what God has. That's dangerous. But to labor for what the gospel is, you have the greatest confidence. As some men have said, you can pillow your head at night with peace and get up the next day and run and get up and go. Amen. Beloved, the gospel of our dear Savior gives us good mobility, good footing, but certainly good mobility. He brings us along. He's moving us along just like armies. He's moving us. He's keeping us. He's guarding us. And he's keeping us from the dangers of the enemy's wiles and his ground. Don't want to go there. So think again, rejoice again in this truth. As the soldiers, as the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have these promises that even Paul saying we need to put on, we need to know what we have in Christ. We have good footing, we have good protection, we have good mobility because the gospel of our dear Savior has arrested us, has outfitted us, it's filling us. It's not for next year or 5 years from now. When I finish this part of my life, then I'm going to be more serious. It's right now, beloved. It's right now that if you're a student, you're young in your marriage, wherever you are in your life, that all of it has the mark of God with it, on it, on your life, on your labor, on what you love. Onward, brothers, sisters, onward. Have your feet shod with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let this stir you, activate you, all of us at the individual level, and us at a church level. May God lead us on for His name's sake. Let me pray. Father, lead us on. Have our lives. Lord, we do feel very frail. We try to do things in our own strength. I do way, way too often. Lord, forgive me. I want to walk with your armor, with your gospel, with the power, Holy Spirit, from you. Help every brother and sister in this room. Help your people today. Lord, we do want you to take us onward, advance us, keep us from the wicked one. Keep us in the truth. Keep us grounded and settled in the hope of the gospel, this glorious good news of Christ Jesus. Lord, we want to move on with you, and we want to love others in that journey. We want to be evangelistic. We want to sound the gospel. We want to live it, and we want to proclaim it. Help us, Lord. Blessed be your name. Amen.